This is episode number 244 with the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, Phil Rosenthal.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome, everyone. But before we get into the episode, I had the pleasure of sitting down with an incredible human being. His name is Phil Rosenthal, and he's an American television writer and producer who is best known as the creator, writer, and executive producer for the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond, which ran for 9 seasons and is still on TV all over the world. He has had 70 Emmy nominations for his show and won 2 Emmys. Also an author and currently producing a new show, I'll Have What Phil's Having. You're going to want to make sure you watch the show because it's really awesome. And come back to the show notes at lewishouse.com/244 so you can watch a video of what I was having with Phil. Also, you can watch the full video interview there. Top 5 things you're going to learn from this episode: why Phil recommends that actors take writing classes and directors take acting classes. Also, why they decided to stop writing Everybody Loves Raymond while it was still at its popular peak. How young people are making the cheap urban neighborhoods cool through their creativity. Phil's best tips for writing an amazing screenplay for all you screenplay writers out there. And how Phil got himself to write 210 episodes of the same show. I'm very excited about this, so let's go ahead and dive into this episode with the one, the only, Phil Rosenthal.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Welcome everyone back to the School of Greatness podcast. We got a very special guest, Phil Rosenthal, in the house. How's it going?
It's good. I can't believe I'm in the School of Greatness.
School of Greatness. This is the studio. Here we go.
Wow. Can we lower the expectations a little
bit? We can.
School of okayness,
school
can
of
we
average?
Call it?
Yeah. Yeah. But there's nothing you've done that's been average.
Oh, you're very nice.
And Gary Vaynerchuk, mutual friend, introduced us.
He's the force of nature.
He's the force. He emailed me and said, you've got to have this guy on. I never heard about you until he mentioned you. And then I researched and I was like, how have I not heard about you? I've heard about the work you've done.
Yeah.
You're the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And
yes,
that
sir.
Was, that's is that still on?
It's on everywhere.
It's on everywhere. But how many years has it been? How many seasons now?
Well, we did 9 seasons.
9 seasons.
And we've been we finished almost 10 years ago. And it's
just still on. I feel like it's
that's
still
That's called
running.
Syndication.
That's called nice paychecks.
It's constantly. Nice. But more than that, it's all over the world.
All over the place.
And even there are countries that are doing it in their own versions.
No.
Like I went to Russia to help them turn it into Everybody Loves Kostya.
No way.
And I filmed the whole thing, and it's a documentary. I made a documentary about it, and it just started this month on Netflix. You could see it on Netflix. It's called Exporting Raymond.
Wow.
And it's actually that PBS saw and said, we want to do more with you.
No way.
Yeah, and it led to this new show.
And the new show is called I'll Have What Phil's Having.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about it, because it's different than what you've ever done.
Yes, I mean, this is something I've done in my whole life. Yes.
Right, but you've never created a show like this.
Never.
So what is happening? It's every Monday night right now.
Yeah, on PBS.
PBS.
Yeah, and then it's and then after the night it premieres, you can see it online on PBS.org. There you go. Gotcha. And you can so everything's available to everybody all the time.
Sure, sure.
Soon, you know, the Apple right Watch afterwards. Just came out, and what it's missing is what the phone has, that you can actually see the person you're talking to and watch TV show. You know, you're too young to know who Dick Tracy was, right?
Yeah, I know,
you know who he was. But he had a watch with the video phone in it. I'll be right there, talking into their wrist. I'll be right there.
It's happening.
That's coming.
It's happening, yeah.
Your phone, your TV, and your computer are all becoming one thing.
And your wallet will be on there.
Everything.
Your car key.
Yeah.
You'll tap the car and it opens up.
I was talking to somebody this morning and saying, we are now half human, half phone.
Right. When our phones are connected to us 24/7.
We're bionic.
Do you have yours right by your bed?
Look, I have it right here. Look.
Do you have it by your bed and you're like...
Yes, I do.
Can you reach out and touch him?
Yes, you know why? Because I'm sick. I have an addiction problem. Am I alone out there?
No.
I think some of us maybe have this, right? Put the phone down. look at me.
Exactly, yeah. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to start putting the phone in the other room when you go to sleep?
I'll do what everybody else does. Nothing about it. I'll just live this way. I'll accept that I'm half phone, half human.
And what's your wife do? Does she half...
She's busy on her phone.
Really?
Yes.
So when you guys are in bed at night, are you both...
Yes, it's replaced other activities in the bed.
But eventually you set it down and have fun. And connect.
All right.
So tell me exactly what's happening during your show.
Okay, so they asked me, they saw me in this Exporting Raymond movie. They saw me go to Russia. They said, we like that movie. We like you in the movie. Mm. Do you have any ideas? We like the idea of you going places. Mm. I said, so does my wife.
Not with her, getting away from her.
She wants me out of the house, right, I think. Right. So I said, yeah, I've had this fantasy where I go to a different great spot every episode of a show.
A different city,
a different great country. Place on Earth, every episode, and I show you where to eat as a way of connecting to different cultures, right? They say, we've been looking for a food and travel show with humor for years.
Because it's all been serious or...
Yeah.
Or maybe a little playful, but not humorous.
Well, they've done like cooking shows,
yes.
And then they do very straight-laced kind of travelogue shows.
Like Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain is like a superhero.
He's next level, yeah.
He's next level. He's like...
Great writer. And,
yeah, my joke is that I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything.
There
right?
you go.
So I'm
he'll
very,
try everything.
Well, not only that, he's going to Beirut. He's getting shot at.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing daredevil stuff.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that,
yeah.
Right? I love him. I live vicariously through him when I watch him. But I figure people look at me on the screen, they go, well, if that putz can go outside, maybe I can too.
Mm.
And that's my whole reason for doing it.
Mm.
I want people to get off the couch and not live vicariously through me, but to have what I'm having. I'll have what Phil's having.
Mm.
I want to go... I can. If that guy can do it, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting with Tokyo, Italy, Paris, Barcelona, Hong Kong, and Los Angeles.
Wow.
Right? This to me is, since I'm trying to entice you, why not start with Earth's greatest hits?
There you go.
These are some of the best places on Earth.
Sure.
They're not all the best places.
Right.
I got a lot more seasons to do.
Yeah,
I'm telling
great.
People it's a big world out there. Somebody's got to eat it.
Sure. I like that.
Right?
Like that.
So that's the idea is to, because I really think wouldn't the world be a little bit better if we, all of us, got outside our own experiences just a little bit to experience someone else's experience.
Mm.
That's the show.
Mm.
That's all I want to do. And for me, food and humor are the way in.
Sure.
That's the entertainment
part. Yeah, I like that.
And the message comes from under that.
So you've had, you know, an incredible life so far, you know, with all the things you've done with Everybody Loves Raymond.
Are you saying I should stop already?
No. Okay. I'm saying it's just beginning, right?
Yes.
And you, I think you won 2 Emmys. Is that right? You're nominated for 10 or 11 or something like that. Like, I lost count.
Do you want me to tell you the real numbers?
Tell me the real numbers.
The show was nominated for over 70 Emmys.
Wow.
Right?
Wikipedia needs to update itself then.
Well, if you're talking about me personally, Yeah, I won personally too, but yourself, the show won a lot more.
Wow, 70 nominated for.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Has any other show been nominated that many times?
Oh, sure. There's lots of shows. Modern Family, I'm sure, has passed us many times. Yeah.
Shows you how much I know about show business.
That's all right. It's not about the Emmys, really. That's like a horse race. That's like a contest. I would rather they say, these are our favorite shows of the year. Here's a show where we celebrate these shows. We show you clips. People get up and talk a little bit about those shows. But that wouldn't be a bloodthirst sport, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
That wouldn't be that. We need some, we need a winner and we need a loser.
Right. Or second place or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so nominated for 70. You were nominated for 10 or 11 yourself and you won two.
Is that right? I don't know.
Don't know, but you won two.
Those I know because they're in my house.
So you have two?
Yes, sharp, pointy things that could kill you. I have on a high shelf because I had small children when we got these, and you can't let them play with that. They'll kill themselves.
Yeah. What gave you the inspiration for creating the show in the first place?
I was a writer. I started at first as an actor in high school and college. That's what I studied. But at college, I got a kind of well-rounded education, which I recommend to everybody. Mm-hmm. If you're in a certain field, like if you were a football player knew your position, didn't it help you to know some of the other positions around you?
Of course.
Not just the other offensive positions,
but the
defense, so you know what's coming at you.
Of course.
All right, so if you know that, it makes you better at your thing.
Of course.
They're all branches off the same tree. So for me, and I tell this to actors, take a writing class. Mm. If you're a director, right, take an acting class.
Mm.
Because when you're in that situation, doesn't it help to know what the other guy's thinking? Mainly because in my field, I'm not hitting the other people like you.
Yeah.
I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to make it clear what I need.
Yeah.
So this applies, I think, to everything in life. Understand the other person,
exactly
what they do and how it relates to what you want to do.
Mm.
We don't live in a bubble where it's just me and my thing and what I want. That's the mistake we make.
Yeah.
But the smart guy sees the other things and applies it to what he wants to do.
I love that.
And by the way, you never know. So here I was studying acting thinking that's what I'm going to do. And then the writing came along. How to come along? Some actors who were in school with me and I were starving to death.
Yeah, no jobs.
No job.
No money.
We were bartenders. We were waiters. We were the usual thing that you... I was a guard at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Wow.
Where I was fired for falling asleep on a 300-year-old bed.
Wow.
How's that for your greatness?
Wow. That's amazing. Good story.
Good. You got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere.
By the way, let me tell you something. Mm. When I started writing, I needed a story, like what are you going to write for a sitcom? They call it a spec script, something you write for free on spec that you then send around. It's your audition. It's your writing sample, right? So I'm with a partner at the time. His name was Oliver Goldstick, still his name. And he and I were thinking, what could we write about? There's a show on called Roseanne at this time in the late 80s. What are we going to write? Well, how about this? How about the husband takes a second job as a night guard at the local museum, and he falls asleep on a 300-year-old bed. And we wrote that, my exact story.
Wow.
And people around town are reading this. They're going, what an imagination on this guy, right? So you never know where the good thing comes from.
Amazing.
Here it was, at the time when I'm fired, this is the most embarrassing moment of my life. This is... I'm a loser.
Right.
I can't even hold a job that pays $180 a week.
Right.
Right? I'm dead. Who knew? That was my ticket in. From that script, we got an agent.
Mm.
From that script, we got hired on our first sitcom.
Wow.
Right? And from there, it went.
Amazing. And what was the first job you got? Or what was the first show that was your own from after that?
Everybody Loves Raymond.
That was the first show.
That was mine.
And
I worked on five or six other shows before that, working for other people. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I have to go back for a second because I was telling you that we were actors. Some actor friends of mine got together and wrote a show for ourselves to be in. You see?
Wow.
That was the transition of writing. At the same time, another friend of mine, this was luck, came to me and said, "You're funny. Let's write a screenplay together."
Wow.
And we did, and we sold it.
Wow.
And suddenly I went from having $150 in the bank to having $30,000 in the bank.
Just like
I went from 100 air to 1,000 air.
Wow. I was now 1,000 air.
1,000 air.
Right?
It's a big step from 100 air.
Well, I went from eating pizza and hot dogs for dinner to eating whatever I wanted.
Amazing.
And so I liked that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I thought maybe I pursue the writing a little bit if I want to keep eating well.
Of course.
Right?
And how old were you when you did the when you got fired from the job?
I was 21. And from then till I was 29 before I moved to Hollywood, okay, I had these odd jobs. And I was 27 when we wrote the show for ourselves to be in and wrote the screenplay, 1988. That was, I was 28. And then, you know, this stuff started happening. But there are these years of struggle. Now, these years of struggle, since we're on the Greatness Podcast, this is the crucible. These 20s, when you're after college,
hungry,
where you realize you've now graduated with a degree that's good for nothing. These odd jobs that you're going to have where you feel like a loser.
Mm.
Isn't that everything? That's everything. The struggle. The wanting to make it. The being young enough and having energy enough. It hits you at the right time in your life. You don't realize it then. If I could go back and talk to my younger self, I would say, don't worry. This suffering that you're having right now, this struggle that you're having right now is actually going to make you. Listen, if you're going to write about, for instance, if you're going to write about real life, you should have one.
You got to have the struggle. No one wants to hear a story about everyone having it smooth all the way through. There's got to be
conflict. Is no story.
There's no.
I woke up. I had no conflict. I had no problems.
I achieved everything I wanted.
I did everything. Yeah.
There's no story.
There's no story.
So you have to have the struggle in order to have the story.
It actually, not just the story. It makes you who you're going to be. Mm. You don't realize it at the time. I will say this, though. I will say that being young and living in New York, when New York actually in the 80s, if you're as old as me, if you lived in New York in the 80s, it wasn't as nice as it is now.
No, it's nice.
It was kind of run down.
Yeah.
There were things failing.
And you weren't
all
living
over
in Soho and West Village. You were probably
living
in Harlem.
I was living in Washington Heights.
Yeah.
Which, and by the way, a nice part of Washington Heights where my grandparents settled after World War II.
Yeah.
They called it Frankfurt on the Hudson.
Right.
Right? And it was kind of a nice neighborhood that nobody knew about. The rents were really cheap. It was just a 15-minute express train ride to Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's already gentrified and it's a fantastic neighborhood in Manhattan. Now people are living out in Queens.
Yep.
Because Brooklyn's already been gentrified.
It's
Brooklyn's already happening.
Yeah, yeah.
More expensive than Manhattan because it's where all the hipsters live. And there's a Brooklynization going on all over the world.
It's crazy.
Where
right?
young people, out of necessity, are going to where the cheap rents are and using their creativity and need, they're making it and making the place better.
Cooler,
this is I
artistic,
love
interesting, yeah.
Great food, for example.
Yes.
You walk down a street in Brooklyn, it's like Disneyland for food, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And when I travel now, like for the show,
yeah.
I'm seeing a neighborhood like that in every city I go to.
I like that.
Because the young people are coming in and they're doing what they have to do to make it.
Mm.
And that's how the world is.
In order to make it, you got to create something cool, something that other people want. That's, you know.
We do it out of necessity.
Yeah.
And my point is about my self-realization at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of our friend Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yes.
I wonder if he would agree with this. You have to at least be happy about the fact that you live in a place where you get to pursue happiness, right? The pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
This is major. If you live in another country, for example,
you don't get this
or
choice.
Maybe you live in another part of the U.S. where you're going to do what your dad did,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to be in an arranged marriage, or you're going to be whatever we tell you to be,
right?
Or your social class prohibits you from achieving
mm-hmm.
what you're able to achieve in this country, in this place. In New York City, for example, I actually reminded myself at that time as I was struggling, I'm happy because I get to pursue what I want.
Yeah.
I get to be like a real person out there. I'm not in school. They're not telling me what to do. I'm not doing homework that I don't like or understand. I get to. And I understand that, yes, you wanted to be in show business. Yes, you're going to have the terrible job as well. Okay. I'm willing to do it. Why? I get to pursue being in show business.
Yeah, and it's fun and it's interesting.
And it's
fun. What you want to do.
It's what I always wanted to do when I was a kid. And I love every aspect now of the business. I always have.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I love the acting, performing, writing, directing, editing, producing even. I love every aspect of the business except the business. The business is terrible.
The creating the deals, the politics,
that's awful.
Everything.
The politics of people and networks, agendas, which aren't necessarily let's do the best thing.
It's let's do the best, the thing that makes the most money.
Exactly. So I don't care anything about that. I never did.
Yeah.
Honestly, I never thought about the money.
And you made a lot of money because of it, probably.
You follow your path. There's the lesson. You follow your passion. You do what you feel you were meant to do.
Mm.
You're open to other things, like for me, writing.
Yeah.
And it came by itself. It was a byproduct of doing what you were passionate about. You can't say, I want to make $1 million. Now, there are people who do that.
Yeah.
There are people, they work in other fields. Their goal is to make money, and I guess if you're single-minded enough, you will make that. I was single-minded in trying to do good work in my field.
Mm.
Luck and I guess maintaining a level of quality guaranteed that the living would come.
Right.
Right?
You mean luck? Do you mean timing?
You have to be lucky.
Like
I write, if I write a script in my apartment by myself at that time, let's say, I'm writing by myself about this comedian that I saw named Ray Romano. He has a real family, and what I don't know about his real family, I'm going to put in my family. And I'm going to write stories about my family. I'm going to put it in this one script. And I'm hoping that somebody at CBS, this one person who's in charge of comedy at CBS, likes it enough to show it to their boss and let us film a pilot, one episode. That's all I'm hoping for.
And then people need to like it, and you can do another
one. By the way, before that, you have to get a cast.
Yeah.
And every single person has to be right for that part, or the show is not a success. It doesn't even get on the air. Right? The audience that's at the taping, they have to like it. It has to be shot well enough so they can see it to like it.
Right.
Everything. The
Everything
editing.
Has to work together.
All the planets have to line up for any of these things to even get on the air. And then I always say, it's not like winning the jackpot when you have a show that's successful. It's like hitting the jackpot over and over and over again because so many things have to happen for us to run 9 years and for it to still be on today.
It has to be relevant and people have to like it.
Yes.
It has, you know, so many things that happen. The network has to stay alive so
you
can keep running it.
And they have to support you.
Yeah.
And the people have to, the people have to keep liking it. And you have to keep doing good work. It doesn't you just don't ride on your coattails. We all know the shows start big and they peter out fast and then they're gone.
Two seasons, maybe 3 seasons is
that happens.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Every show almost is a miracle.
Wow.
We did 210.
Every episode.
Yes.
Wow.
210 separate shows. They weren't like, oh, you just do 210 like it's a like it's a factory and the thing, you made the mold and you just put the chocolate in the mold and we just make 210.
Right.
Every one of them, you're reinventing the thing again.
Amazing.
Every one.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How involved were you on all of those 210 episodes?
Everything on every show. They call me the showrunner. That's the showrunner's job, to run the show. And I guess the equivalent in movies is the director.
Yeah.
Who oversees the whole production. That's what a showrunner does.
Wow.
It's very important that it seems to have a unity, a vision, and a singular voice, you see?
Mm.
Otherwise, it's a mess of voices and not a clear vision.
Yeah.
So it has to be filtered. It helps, I think, to be filtered through one or two heads.
Visions as opposed to 30 visions. What
I want to say also, I had tremendous team there.
Of course.
I had the best comedy writers in the business.
Couldn't have done it without them.
I had the best sitcom actors in the business. And I had Ray Romano, who's a comic genius, who's not only a great actor, but a great writer and my partner in this. And, you know.
Couldn't have done it without him, probably. It wouldn't have worked, probably, would it?
Wouldn't have anything without him. Wouldn't have anything without him.
Right.
He was a stand-up comedian. He was struggling for his struggle. Wow. He was struggling for 12 years just to get on the David Letterman show.
Wow.
He got on once.
To do like a two-minute segment.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Letterman said after that five-minute appearance, there should be a show for that guy.
Really?
We're going to look for a writer to create a show for that guy. They found me. I found him. I liked him. He liked me.
12 years he was struggling.
He was struggling, yes. And here I come. I was struggling myself.
Right.
But look, luck, right? If we're not in the right place at the right time, that doesn't happen. Now, they say luck is the residue of design, right? He has to have honed his act for 12 years to know his comic voice. I have to hone my writing for so long to know my voice, to understand.
And how long were you writing for?
How to create. I would say 5-6 years before I meet him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Because if it was your first year, you wouldn't have been ready for it.
Yes, true. I learned from not just the good shows, but I learned from bad shows.
Right.
You learn what not to do.
Yeah.
Plenty. Listen, that's as important. That's what I mean by these struggling years. Learning what not to do. Learning, let's say you have a shitty boss, right? Everybody does at some point or another. Learn from that guy.
Right.
Not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to be that guy.
Or to your parents. You know, things you don't like about your parents. You can be like, okay, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, so how many people don't make the same mistakes as their parents?
Well, some do. Some don't.
A lot do.
Yeah.
I'm saying learn from other people's mistakes.
Right, or your siblings' mistakes or whatever it may be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't fall into the trap and say that's my destiny.
Right.
No, you're your destiny.
Yeah.
You make it happen.
Right. So when you launched the first season, what was the vision for you? Was it, we're going to do 210 episodes?
No.
1,000? We're just going to do one?
I want to make one good one so they like it enough to let me do another one.
Right.
Oh, they like that one? Maybe the, you know, we got picked up for six. Six.
That's what we got picked up for.
And I was really nervous. How am I going to, I made one. I don't even know how to make a second one.
Wow.
So I get nervous. Now, how am I going to do six? I have to do six more of these? It almost killed me to do the one. Right? So wow. I couldn't, if you told me that you're going to now make 210, I would have dropped dead.
Wow.
It's like the journey up the mountain begins with a single step, right? Mm-hmm. So you only can look at that one step ahead of you. You can't. If you try to say, oh my God, I got a mountain to climb, kill yourself.
Yeah, it's like in sports, you know, we talked about focusing on the game at hand, not the big game 4 weeks down the line, but what's happening right now.
And by the way, not the game at hand, the play,
the play at hand. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Let's get this
every
play
moment, yeah.
Every moment. There's a great animation company called Aardman in England. I don't know if you're familiar with Wallace and Gromit. It's,
oh, yeah, of course.
It's this stop
course.
Motion
I
animation.
Love it. I love
okay?
It.
So the head guy there, they asked him, how does he do it? How do you envision that whole thing? How do you create that?
It takes a lot of time, probably.
He goes,
right?
I feel that if I concentrate on the 1/24th of a second that I'm working on at any given time, the rest takes care of itself.
Oh, my goodness. It's so much work.
Isn't that a great lesson, though?
Yeah.
1/24th. The 1/24th was because it's 24 frames a second.
A second.
And every frame, they move it a tiny bit, the stop motion, and take a picture, and then move it a tiny bit, and it's the whole scene with a train running through it and a waterfall and characters moving and talking. And so they're changing the lips on each character. They're changing 1/24th of a second at a time.
I wonder how long it takes to do one, you know, episode for that or movie or...
I think it takes...
Gosh, a lot of time.
A year, maybe a year and a half to do the 7-minute thing.
You need a lot of patience.
Oh, yeah. A lot of patience and a lot of concentration and a lot of devotion. And you got to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Warner Brothers cartoons, Bugs Bunny cartoons, a year and a half for the 3 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Hand-drawn. Every one. Hand-drawn every frame.
Greatness takes time, I guess.
Greatness takes time and devotion and dedication.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. What would you say is some of the biggest lessons you learned over those seasons, those 210 episodes about yourself?
The best advice I ever got, I say this all the time, was from a great showrunner named Ed Weinberger. He worked on The Mary Tyler Moore Show and Taxi and other shows, and he was a little bit crazy. In a funny way, but also He said this to me, and I never forgot it. Do the show you want to do, because in the end, they're going to cancel you anyway.
Right? Yeah, they did. They eventually did, right?
No. We actually...
You canceled it.
We said, we've done enough, and we don't have any more stories, and now it's finished, and we want to end well. It's very important to end well. We all know the shows that stayed on too long and didn't end well, and it, you know what happened? It tarnished the legacy.
It did.
So we wanted to get out. You want to get off the stage on before top. Somebody says, hey, you should get off the stage. You want to get out before you're injured. You want to get out before something bad happens.
Yeah. You don't want to win a few Super Bowls and then keep trying to win.
My father's 89 years old. He didn't want to stop driving. He says, I can still drive. And we're starting to see that, you know, this was almost an accident over here. This was an almost over here. I said, Dad, you know, like when a comedian, you like comedians, you like watching comedy, they get off before they tell a bad joke. Mm. They know when to stop. So let's stop driving now before something bad happens so you have a perfect record.
Exactly.
Let's go out a winner, Dad. And that made sense to him, and he gave us the keys.
That's great.
That's all you want. You want to get off before you become lousy, if you care about what you're doing. Listen, they offered us lots of money to stay.
Of course.
It's not about the money.
Hmm.
Right? We have enough money. Well, I mean, at that point.
Yeah, you had all the money you needed.
But there are people who I can't say no to that money. Because we've been trained to think that money is the thing.
Or the identity. You know, this has been my identity for a decade now. What am I going to do if I don't have this?
What was that show I love? Silicon Valley on
put
HBO.
Put the mic back
over. You ever watch Silicon Valley on HBO?
I love that show.
Okay, so there's a character
the first season,
who was a billionaire, and he dropped to 900 million, and he went
like
crazy.
He's like, I need another comma.
He needs that. He needs to be known as a billionaire.
It's insane.
Perfect metaphor for how we're almost trained to think in America.
Yeah.
Right?
What is it, the 3-comma club or something? Or what was it, the 4-comma club or whatever?
But that guy's obviously an idiot and a very good lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Did you feel like your identity was tied up in this show for that long? Or did you feel like...
Yeah. That's what I do. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. I make that show. And I'm proud of it. And I'm going to work my butt off to make sure it's good every week. There's some shows are better than others. How could they not be? But there's a level you should never go below. I learned that in school, too. We had a professor who said, there's a level of quality you can't go below. And if we keep that line in our heads, maybe our work is better.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we have no standards.
Right.
So it's good to have standards.
Mm. What was a show that you did that you felt like it went below there?
Everything else. Everything else.
Yeah.
Because, look, I had... As my friend used to say, you got the horses on that show. You know, you got the horses, meaning the great actors.
Yeah.
And the great writers, too. I had everything working right.
And you're at the right time. And
yes, I try in my work not to go below a certain level that I can live with. And I quit. I quit if it's not good. And when I go and speak to kids at schools, I go to colleges and talk to people sometimes, I tell them, and I'm only half joking, if you take one thing away from this meeting today, always quit.
Okay.
What does that mean? Quit if the iced tea isn't cold enough? No.
Mm.
If the level is unsatisfactory to you, if you feel like you're getting so many notes that it's now diminished what you had in mind, you have no recourse but to leave. Yeah. All we come with is ourselves, and all we can go with is with ourselves, right?
Sure, sure.
So... No, you cannot ruin me. I won't allow it. I have standards if you don't.
Mm.
Now, am I being political when I do that? Am I playing them? Am I trying for something? No.
Mm.
I really mean it. When I quit, and it's agonizing, it's not something I do lightly, but sometimes you have to go because it's not going to be right. And if it's not right and you've tried everything, I'm not saying quit on the first day.
Yeah.
I'm saying you've tried everything. You see the train is going to hit that wall. Jump off that train.
Yeah, right.
Jump off that train. If the train is going to hit the wall, we try to take the wheel. We try to steer it so it doesn't. But if you see it the last minute, oh my God. You got to get out of there. Mm. You got to, because your name is all you have.
That's it. And when did you realize that it was like now's the time. Was it the seventh season where you're like, okay, maybe I've got a couple seasons left? Or was it like during the last season where you're like, oh, this is it?
No, I planned it.
Really?
Yeah. Because I learned from the shows that I loved that went before us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Smart.
Well, why not learn from the best?
Yeah.
So you see these things that you love and you try to emulate them. You try to use them, use the good examples then.
Yeah. Right? What were the shows that inspired you?
The Honeymooners, Dick Van Dyke Show, All in the Family, Mary Tyler Moore, Taxi, Roseanne, The Cosby Show of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
These shows had something in common. The Odd Couple, they were all filmed in front of a live audience, so they were like theater,
mm-hmm.
which I liked. I liked hearing the laughs, the real laughs, not the fake canned laughs.
Tell people to That's clap. Right. Yeah.
And they all took place on planet Earth, meaning the stuff that happened in those shows could happen
real
on Earth.
Real stuff, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't so crazy and exaggerated that you didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to like, even as a child, the shows that I believed. And the ones that were just silly, I didn't care for them so much.
Yeah.
So I was going to have one rule at Everybody Loves Raymond. Could this happen? That's all.
Wow.
And we always found, whenever we were stuck, like now what happens in the story when we're sitting around the table, all the writers thinking, what will this story, now what happens in the story? Well, maybe this could happen, maybe this could happen, maybe this could happen. And we go around sometimes for an hour, 2 hours.
For one scene.
For one moment.
Wow.
Now what happens? Because we're trying to tell a story. Now what? Don't you know that always somebody, one of us idiots who didn't say this earlier,
who was thinking
says...
that.
What would really happen?
Mm.
Well, what would really happen is she would say this and then this and this and that. So why don't we do that?
And that's sure probably enough, the funniest thing.
Well, it leads to a funny thing because if you're funny, you're going to make that real thing funny. You're going to say a funny line. You're going to something. It's going to trigger other things. But start with real. I tell aspiring writers, keep a journal. Why? Because it's easier to write things down than to write. It's easier to write down what really happens to you than to come up with shit, right?
Yeah.
So take notes of your day, and it's going to be unique. Why? Because you're unique. Mm-hmm. You can't help it. You're not like me. I'm not like you. I'm not like him. I have my head as screwed up as it is.
Yeah.
And the way I see things through these eyes and hear things through these ears and think things through this stupid head, it comes out different than if you write the same exact series of events.
Right.
So I tell people, you already got what you need. It's you. We don't think that's anything.
Right.
What do you mean, me? I'm nobody.
Right.
No, you are somebody. The way you think and the way you feel is unique to you. It makes you different from you. The easy cliche to say is write what you know. Right?
You probably
but
won't
it's
have
a cliche for a reason.
Right. You probably wouldn't have writer's block if you're just writing down the things that happen every day.
Yes, but we think that's nothing. And by the way, a lot of times it won't be something, but once in a while it will be something. So, you know how a photographer takes a lot of pictures and then three or four are amazing? Same with writing.
But it might have taken thousands of photos
that's
to get
okay.
to that. Yeah.
That's how you see the great photos. Right?
Yeah.
That's how everything great is.
What would you say is your superpower from all the things that you've learned and all the experiences? What's the one thing that makes you stand out from
most people?
If you had a superpower, what would that be?
Boy, I think I can. And this is something that's been told to me and I've come to accept. I can walk on a stage and I can fix it. I know the difference because of my training between a writing problem, an acting problem, and even a directing problem. And so I can fix it. I can fix it by either writing it, I can fix it by talking to the actor, I can fix it by staging it differently. I know how to fix it. So that's the thing. I think other people are funnier than me. I think other people are more handsome than me. I think other people are
smarter
than me, certainly.
Yeah.
But I can do that. And
that's
applicable. That's applicable to things in life, too. So I'm lucky.
That's great. What other things in life do you feel like that comes to the table too?
Well, you wanna be able to navigate other human beings and other problems that come up, not just out in the world, but in your house, right? With your children, with your wife, with the, whoever it is, you want to be able to. Now, am I as good at home as I am on a soundstage? No. Because on the soundstage, they have to listen to me.
Right.
At home, they tell me what to do, and right. I usually do it.
Right. Usually.
Yeah.
I love that. What is the, you know, you've had all this success. You've had this incredible career. People want you to speak at all the universities. You know, you're, any writer would love to sit down and have this conversation with you.
We're doing
learn.
It now.
Right.
But listen to the thing. I'm not saying anything to you that I wouldn't say to the writer.
Yeah.
I'm treating you as if you're.
Well, I appreciate it.
And well, you're asking me.
And so all the writers listening, hopefully they're getting a lot out of this.
Well, even if you're not a writer.
Right.
I'm hoping that what I'm saying, that what we're talking about is applicable.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
The TV show, I'll have what Phil's having, is applicable. I want you to connect. That's all we do as human beings on the planet is connect with other people.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
For me, food, sitting around a table, is how mankind's always interacted.
Yeah.
Around the campfire over the bison we just killed with our sticks.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Or fancy meal.
Yeah.
We're sitting. We have to eat. We have to eat. We may as well eat together. So that's where all that comes from. Now, what cements us to each other? I think sense of humor.
Yeah.
Underrated value. As much as we love it, underrated. Why? Because the emphasis in our culture is on hotness, is on cuteness, right? Is on, oh, I want to be with them, you know, physically.
Mm-hmm.
But what lasts, I think what makes us friends is an appreciation of each other's sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I'll go one step further. I say it's who we marry. Huh. We either laugh at the same things or appreciate the other person's sense of humor. And I'll tell you something. I've seen it. Once the laughs go, you go.
Really?
What do you
if
have?
If it's not fun anymore, then what's the point?
Listen, you could be... here's what society, here's what the people who are selling you every product under the sun and television show never say. The physical thing, that has to fade.
Of course.
Right?
So it may work for years.
No one stays hot and desirable forever to everybody.
Right, right.
That's just that's television. That's a fake world.
Yeah.
What does keep you together, I think, is we smile and laugh and enjoy the same things.
Mm. Do you have any principles that you live by as with your wife where you're like, every day I need to make her laugh, or every day we tell jokes to each other? Is there something that you
She's
do?
She's very funny. I'm hopefully funny. And we just go through life. And every day we make each other laugh.
That's
not
great.
Because we're trying to, but because she knows what to say to make me laugh.
Mm.
And I think I know, you know, that doesn't mean it's perfect all the time. It's real life. She's really mad at me sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
And you with her probably.
Well, she's so annoying.
But if you wouldn't have the laughs, do you think you'd still be together?
No. I really don't.
Mm.
I'd called my book, You're Lucky You're Funny, which is something she said to me in the middle of being really mad at me.
Wow.
So that saved my life.
Or at least the
because
relationship.
Because it's all I got.
Right.
Right? It saved my life when I was getting beat up in school by boys like you on the football team.
I was bullied, by the way.
You were, really?
Oh, yeah. That's why I joined sports and started getting active, because
you were picked on.
I was the.
Were you a little kid?
I was tall, skinny, scrawny, but I was very. I was in all the special needs classes with like me and three kids in wheelchairs because I couldn't read or write until high school.
Wow!
And I couldn't comprehend schoolwork.
Look how great you turned out.
Well, it made me learn how to connect with people in a different way and learn how to use different tools to build relationships as opposed to using my smarts.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Fantastic.
But I was just like you.
But that's fantastic.
Thanks.
So I was even short. I was not only was I skinny and scrawny and shorter. So, you know, I was the boy most likely I was the boy most likely to get his books kicked out of his hands
in the
hall.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And I was picked on, and I was like, and this is a cliche. You develop the sense of humor because it's your defense. It's your one way of connecting. It's your one way to get girls.
There you go.
I mean,
funny guys can get
any
girl they want, it seems like.
I couldn't.
If you've got humor.
No, I guess I wasn't that funny. that's all I had. You use what you have.
Now, how does someone, let's say they don't think they're funny, they can't tell jokes.
Yeah.
I'm not a comedian. I'm never going to be one. But how can they cultivate humor?
That's a great question.
Cultivate storytelling, timing, because a lot of humor is timing.
Yes.
And the space between the things we say,
so
I would
think. How do you do that?
How do you cultivate being funny?
You can't.
You can't.
No, I'm kidding.
There you go.
I'm kidding.
Let's end it.
If you love it, though, if you have an appreciation for it, find out what you're attracted to. Mm. In other words, why does that comedian make me laugh? Why does that show make me laugh? That actually becomes your sense of humor.
Mm.
The things that make us laugh are our senses of humor. That defines us, right? And you can't help but pick up on certain things. I'm not saying imitate that, but it can't help form your personality.
Mm.
And then I know this is a terrible thing to say because it means nothing. Be yourself, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell that is, says the person listening. Who is myself?
Yeah,
I don't
know
who myself is. You know, Ray Charles is one of the great singers of all time. When he started, if you listen to his records when he first started, he sounded exactly like someone who came before him. Called Nat King Cole.
Mm-hmm.
He was imitating him.
Of course.
Listen, not a terrible place to start.
Right.
He then, once was accepted as a singer, started developing his own style.
Yeah.
So it's okay to emulate other things.
I think all musicians do this. They emulate Pearl Jam or the Beatles. They listen to people
and
that influence them. Writers
talk,
as well, actors.
If you talk
to
any actor, any comedian, they will tell you they when they started, they were just trying to imitate who they liked.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's it.
Mm,
that's
I like it. A few questions left for you. I love this. I feel like we can do this for another hour.
Thank you.
What's something, again, you've done all these incredible things. The show has been so successful. It's still running. I thought it was still happening. You know,
they just started in India.
It's crazy.
It's called Everybody Loves Sumit. Yeah.
So it's amazing. And you're getting, you know, all this recognition constantly for all this. What's something you've done that's small, or maybe something you've done that people don't know about?
How about a show on PBS that's 6 episodes?
We'll get to that too in a second. But something
that is it. You already got to it.
Something that people don't know about
that I did
that you've done that you're really proud of.
The book. Nobody reads a book. Yeah. Who reads a book? I'm telling you, get this book. Don't even buy the book. Go to iTunes and download audio. It's like having me in the car with you for 7 hours.
It's a good thing you're funny. Is that what it's called?
You're lucky
you're
funny.
You're funny.
How life becomes a sitcom. So I'm using the example of our show, Raymond, to show you how you can take maybe terrible things that have happened in your life and turn them into something positive.
Mm.
Using the example of making one of these shows, and I'm very specific. And so it's in colleges now as a textbook.
Wow.
It's the people call it the world's funniest textbook.
That's great.
But it's personal stories and taking those personal stories and making them into something that maybe someone else would care about, right?
I love that.
Because it's relatable.
I love that. Couple questions left for you.
Sure.
What are you most grateful for in your life recently?
My family.
Yeah.
My beautiful wife and kids who are, you know, you don't even realize it. You take it for granted sometimes, but they're there. And, you know, I want to get up every morning. And my one of my kids is 21, and he's a junior in college in New York. So I don't see him every day.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter is 18, and she's a senior in high school. And it's one of the joys of my life. Mm-hmm. I realize that I'm not going to have this forever, and you don't realize until it's almost gone, that I got to get downstairs before she leaves for school. I got to be home. You know, when she's home, she has a life. I want to see her.
Because she's going to be off to college.
But I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to at least see the kids in the morning and be home, even from Raymond, where it's a hard job.
Yeah.
Come home for dinner every night. That was a value.
Wow.
That was a value. First of all, if you worked for me, I would tell you it's part of the job. Go home, get in a fight with your wife, come back in and tell me about it because that's the show.
Right.
Right? So all 90% of what you saw on the show happened to me or to Ray or to one of the other writers. We were writing from the stuff that happens. So again, you got to have a real life if you're going to write about it. Right?
I love that.
That's very, very important. And you know, at the end of the day, when we're all canceled one day, you want to be able to say, I did the thing I wanted to do. I did the show I wanted to do. I lived my life the way I wanted to live. And you have to realize what's important, because at the end of the day, your family and your friends and being good to other people in the world and giving something back to the world and being grateful, this is at the center of every religion in the world.
Yeah.
My joke is, you know, for my show, if those boys from ISIS would just sit down with me and have some chocolate cake, everything would be okay. Right?
I think I saw that in your trailer maybe or something. Yeah.
You wanna put something good out there. Yeah. There's enough bad. Most things are terrible.
Right, exactly.
Right? Right? It's like exactly. The photographs. We take many, many photographs. Yeah. Most things are terrible. That's just how it is.
Exactly.
But you got to take a lot to get to the good.
Sure.
So it's always been that way. It's not that television stinks now. No. There's just a lot of television. Mm-hmm. And because most things are terrible and have always been terrible, there's just more of everything now.
Right, right.
There's more good too.
Yeah.
Because there's more everything.
Exactly.
Right?
I love it. Well, this is leading into one of my final two questions. If the show wasn't on and Everyone Loves Raymond was gone, canceled from everywhere, and yeah. No one could watch it anymore, and everything you've ever created was gone.
Yeah.
But you got to write one final script, one final show.
Yeah.
And in this show, you had three things you could write down, the three truths you know to be true about your experience from everything you've learned about writing, life, relationships,
the world.
Three lines, the three truths that you would hand over to the world.
I think we covered them.
If we could wrap it up in a bow, what would those three truths be?
Do the show you want to do, because in the end, they're going to cancel you anyway. Right? Most things are terrible. And always quit.
There you go. The three truths. I love it. Perfect. Before I ask the final question.
Yes.
Where can we follow you online? And again, let's talk about
social media.
Yes. Where should we follow you? What's
my name
at
is
Phil Rosenthal on Twitter.
There I am.
Are you on Instagram? And
I am. Phil.Rosenthal on Instagram.
Okay.
And I think it's Phil Rosenthal or Phil Rosenthal Official or Official Phil Rosenthal on Facebook.
Perfect.
You know, my daughter said she's 18. She gave me this rule. Here's Lily Rosenthal's rules. You ready?
Let's hear it.
Twitter is for funny things. Instagram is for beautiful things. Facebook is for old people things.
Wow. There you go. When Facebook used to be for college kids.
Yeah, now but
for
now
old people
things. Yeah, because those college kids then got older.
It's true, yeah. The kids are on Snapchat or Instagram now. Yeah.
I don't care. Just watch my show.
There you go. The show is on Monday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern or 10 o'clock Central?
10 o'clock everywhere.
10 o'clock
except
everywhere.
New York.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Go back. 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock Central. There's always Central.
Yeah.
10 o'clock, 9 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock in New York only.
Okay.
Why they do it that way, I don't know.
Okay.
But here's the thing. If you just remember the name, I'll have what Phil's having. You put it in your DVR. You don't care what channel or when it's on when you want it to be on.
There you go.
Okay.
I love it. And can you watch it online right afterwards on iTunes and everywhere
else? Yes, you can see it on iTunes. You can see it on PBS.org. You can see it probably on your watch.
There you go. Awesome. Watch the show. We'll have it linked up on the show notes after this. We'll have the book linked up.
Beautiful.
All your social media. One final question.
Yes, sir.
What's your definition of greatness?
Sitting with you on this podcast, sitting with you. This is great for me. I'm lucky. Everything, you know, my friend Norman Lear, you know who that is? He created All in the Family and about a dozen other world. He's the most influential creator of television in the world who's ever lived, right? I mean, he changed the world, this man. He's 93. He's my friend, okay? Norman Lear. Remember that name.
Okay.
Follow him.
I will.
He has a book. Even this I get to experience. About his life. So for me, you know, I remembered that. And so sitting with you today is an honor for me. It's great. Mm. You're a great guy. We had a great conversation. It's very nice.
Thank you. That's
great.
There you go. I love it. Well, I want to acknowledge you, Phil, for your creativity, what you put out in the world, your energy, and most of all, your humor.
Thanks.
Because I feel like you're making the world a better place
by
keeping things light, which could be dark. And keeping things fun, which could be stressful, when at the end of the day, it's all a story and it's how we perceive it. So I want to thank you for that. Acknowledge you. Thanks for coming on the
show. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate it.
I hope to see you again.
Yeah, of course. Okay. And there you have it, guys. Thank you so, so much for showing up today. Make sure to head back to the show notes to watch the full video interview at lewishouse.com/244 and share this with your friends. Let Phil know what you thought about this episode. Tweet him, message him online. All his information is back at lewishouse.com/244. Thank you guys so, so very much. The dream is coming true, and it's all because of you and your support with this podcast. Thank you. You guys know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.